If you brought your Bibles this morning, open them up to the book of Exodus. Exodus 19 is where we're going to start today. And this morning, as we look at God's word, as we look at this story of Saul, I appreciated so much what Brian taught on last night. As we look at who God is and how he is in relation to our life. And this morning, we're going to take a look at the idea that God has a role in our life, that either you choose to not let him rule your life or you do, but either way, there is a role that he plays, that we need to be intentional with God and that we need to trust God. But those are as easy as it is to say that, it's not as easy to actually live that out, at least for me at times. As I look at the story of Saul and this idea that we're to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all of our hearts, and considering all that he's done for us, that in itself is easy for me to memorize. It's easy for me to kind of say. But as for the last 8 months, as I've been wrestling with this idea of here's what we're going to be talking about this summer, this is what we're going to be focusing on, I struggle with living that out at times. And I look at that word, fear, and I go, what does that mean? Like, I know what it means to be scared. I know what it means to fear. But how do I look at that in relation to God and the role that he plays in my life? So that's what we're going to talk this morning about. Open your Bibles to Exodus 19. We're going to start in verse 16. And Moses is out in the desert with the people of Israel at this point. And there's this picture of God that I love, but it's so different than the one that I typically think of. It says this, starting in verse 16. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of camp to meet God. And they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now the Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. Like, this is an image that I go, like, that's crazy. Like, that's huge. Like, that's an image of God that I go, man, so much more than I picture in my head at times. And the mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him in thunder. Have you ever, like, stood or been in a house and thunder has struck right next to you, or lightning struck right next to you? Has anybody had that experience? It's like terrifying. It's so loud that I've seen it shake an entire house that I was in. And so, like, this image of God, and when I read this verse, the idea of God speaking down in thunder and that shaking the mountain, it covered in fire with smoke going out, is an image of God that I want you to consider. It goes on. And the Lord came down. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him in thunder. And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called to Moses to the top of the mountain. And Moses went up. That idea that the God that we serve, the creator of the universe, what Chris spoke on last night and how he put everything into motion, this is the God that wants to have a relationship with each and every one of us. And so when I read that verse, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he's done for us, I stop on that second word and I go, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Do you guys know what forsaken means? Who knows what it means? Anyone? You can raise your hand. Anyone? Forsaken? Maybe? Yeah, what? Abandoned, yes, certainly. The idea of being abandoned, anybody else? The idea, yeah. Being left behind. Exactly. Anybody else? Yeah. What? Being turned on. The idea of being alone and being completely isolated. Do you guys ever feel that way? Just alone? Like there's no one to go to? That you don't know what to do? That feeling is something that's very normal. In fact, even Christ, as he was on the cross in Matthew 27:48, said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is Jesus, the Son of God, that is fully God and fully man, he's on the cross, taking on all of the sins of the world, all of our sins, and he's feeling that pressure and that weight. He feels completely isolated, abandoned, and he's Christ. He is the Messiah. My God, why have you forsaken me? That some of us get to that spot where we feel very alone, where we feel like we have no one to go to, no one to talk to. Somebody hurts us, somebody does something. That feeling is so normal for some of us. And yet, God, the creator of the universe, who wants to have a relationship with us, who wants to play a role in our life, is right there. Saul, as Samuel told the people of Israel, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he's done for you, had every opportunity to turn to God. I think I look at his life, and as I watched the opener, and last night was fun, it was the coronation, but you saw him trying to, we call him Kale in our movie, you saw him trying to figure out, like, man, can I do this? Can I lead them? Can I inspire them? Can I be the person that I need them to be? Even as he's talking to Selah, who represents the Samuel character, he's like, I don't know if I can do this. What if I fail? And she says, without God, you will fail. But with him, all things are possible. All you have to do is fear him and serve him with all your heart. Saul, people of Israel, that's all you have to do. If you and the people do that, you'll be fine. But if you don't, you'll perish. So I read that verse. I've looked at it and studied it over and over and over. And I go, what is that? What does that mean? And I hear messages taught like Brian taught last night. And I go, oh man, God is so much more than what I think he is. Proverbs, over 17 times, has Proverbs verses that refer to fearing God. If you have your booklet, write down some of these references. Proverbs 1:7, that's all you have to write. You can look at it different. You can look at it in another time. It says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 3:7 says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn from evil." Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." So right there, we get this picture that if we fear the Lord, it leads to some sort of knowledge, some sort of wisdom. Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor." In the Psalms, over 20 times there's references to fearing the Lord. Psalms 2:11 says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." That doesn't sound like those words should go together. That's what it says. Psalms 33:8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Psalms 11:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever." Deuteronomy 4:24 says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire." Kind of like we talked about when he was on the mountain. A jealous God. I love what Philippians 2:9-11 says, as it refers to Jesus. "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Hebrews 12:28-29 says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." I want you guys to understand that so often in life, I think we picture God in ways that don't really reflect the entirety, the greatness of who he is. If you brought your Bibles, turn in them to Isaiah. Isaiah 6. It's in the Old Testament, towards the end. Isaiah is one of the prophets. Goes Psalms. Past all that. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah 6. It's an image of God that once again, I think, helps me realize that God is so much more. It says in Isaiah 6, Isaiah was one of the prophets. He has this vision of God, and it's this awesome, awesome image of who he is. Isaiah 6:1. "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood seraphim." Let me keep reading. "Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundation of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal, and he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" Isaiah, just in an image, has this vision of who God is that brings him to the spot that he realizes that he has sin in his life, things that separate him from God. And one of those angelic, fiery beings take a coal from the altar and touch his lips, which represents in the future Christ coming and taking on the sins. Isaiah saw that the role that God had and played in his life was so much greater than who he was and how he was, that just even the image of him, he realized that he was separated from him, and that he had sin in his life. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things he's done. I think the sad part about the story of Samuel is that as it goes on in chapter 18, this guy David, this boy, this young boy who plays a harp for him and does different things, he goes and slays Goliath, and as he gains in popularity, he's just a young boy, probably 14, 16, just a young guy. That this king, it says this in chapter 18, starting in verse 12, it says, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but he had departed from Saul. So Saul removed him from his presence and made him a commander of 1,000. 1,000 people in his army. And he went out and came in before the people, and David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. And when Saul saw that he had great success, he stood in fearful awe of him. As you follow the story of Saul, you're going to see his relationship, the role that he allowed God to play in his life, was less than what he had people in his life. His relationship with Samuel, his relationship with the people of Israel, that he feared people more than he feared God. I think the sad part about that for me is that so often that's what I feel. Like I care what you guys think. And because God's not right in front of me all the time, that I'm like, man, I hope they like me. I'll sit in a restaurant and pray and kind of be wondering what people are thinking around me as I pray. Like I fear people more than I fear God. Which is crazy. The role that I allow him to play in my life sometimes is less than what I allow people to. What is the role that God plays in your life? Are you allowing him to be king and ruler and God over your life? Or is he just that imaginary thing in the air that when you're sitting in chapel or going to church or when you think you need him, he is? That you feel forsaken, you feel like you're alone, like that nobody's with you. I think so often I read the stories, and tonight you'll see another one of the videos, and those are just videos. Those are just how we kind of pictured it. God's word is what the story is, though we based it on God's word. And it gives this picture of Saul fearing people, fearing what they thought, fearing what Samuel thought. And even as I look at their relationship, this codependent relationship that I feel is codependent, that I think he relied so much on Samuel that it wasn't, he didn't care what God thought as much as he cared about what Samuel thought. And I think that's just my opinion as I read the text. But as we allow God to either have a role or not have a role, the second part of that verse, for consider what great things he's done for us, comes into play. For the people of Israel, what did God do for them? Does anybody know? What are some of the things that God did for him? Anyone? what? Brought them out of Egypt, right? They were under Pharaoh. It was a hard life. They were slaves. They cried out to God and he took them out. What happened in the desert? He provided for them, right? It's like there was like a plate of food reserved for Jay. I don't know where this came from. It just showed up. They showed up last year and the year before and the year before. Look at this delicious apple. Oh, wait, what's that? Looks like a bird took a bite out of it. That God provided for them in the desert. That there was no water, there was no food. He took care of them. The ocean, the water, the Red Sea was parted. It was amazing, this amazing act that he took care of them and provided for them. The problem is that sometimes we don't allow God and we don't recognize God's provision. We have so much, and yet we recognize so little. We have so much. The fact that we have the freedom. We just celebrated the 4th of July a couple weeks ago. And the freedom that we have to even meet in this building. The freedom that we have to own God's word. To worship in public. And we take that for granted. What role does God play in your life? Do you allow him to be the king of your life? Or like Saul, do you not? I think for me, I have to be intentional. I was walking across, I live at a place called Hume Lake. The lake is a property. We're right between Kings Canyon and Sequoia National Parks. It's the deepest canyon in North America and the largest trees in the world. It's beautiful. It's incredible. It's like, I mean, this view, have you guys enjoyed the view out here? You got the ocean right out there. How many of you have an ocean view in your dorm? I mean, who has that? That's crazy. And so I lived there, and I'd been working there for a while, and I'm walking across this huge grass lawn, just thinking about my priorities, the things in life, my relationships that I have. I have a wife, I have an amazing family, and I stop. And I'm thinking to myself, are my priorities right? Are the relationships that I have in my life, do I truly like make God the ruler of my life? And how do I express that? And as I was thinking about that, I thought to myself, I can't remember the last time I told God that I loved him or just expressed that to God. I tell my wife that I love her. I tell my mom that I love her, my sisters. But I don't remember when. And so I just stopped where I was stopped, and I prayed. And I said, God, I don't feel like at times I have you in the right order in my priorities, in the relationships that I have. And I'm sorry for that. I love you, God. And from that day on, every time I pray, I tell God that I love him. And it's so easy just to, like, when you're talking to your brothers or your sisters, or maybe not your brothers or your sisters, but like the people that you're close to, like your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your mom or your dad or whoever there, and it's like, hey, I love you. But I honestly stop, or I try to every time, and go, God, I love you. And that's me trying to make the effort to be intentional with God. The daily disciplines of prayer and being in the Word. That God's word is incredible. This book and the stories in it about how the people of Israel were and were not, and how we can live a life that is so full and so abundant, that is so different than the way the world tells us that we should live. So, so different. And yet we have the ability at any time, whether it's this book or on our phones, to access God, but we have to be intentional in that. We have to make the effort to tell him that we love him or to get into it. I was trying to get up early. I try and get up early, which isn't a lot of fun for me because I'm not really a morning person. And I've got this little girl, this three-year-old daughter. She's so cute. She's like ruling our house right now. My wife and I were talking a couple days ago, and we were like, okay, when we get home, she's going to boot camp. She's got to come back into the pecking order of how she is, because right now she's the one. She's it was like 6:30, and I walk out into our little living room, and I see the door open, and I see her little head peek out. If you see her, you'll know. I'll try and introduce you to her at some point. She's so cute. And I'm like, Kinley, her name's Kinley. Sweetheart, you need to go back to bed. You need to go back to bed. And I'm trying to be strong. She's like, Daddy, I love you. And I'm like, I know, sweetheart. You got to go back to bed. You didn't see a 7 on the clock, did you? You know what she said? I need you, Daddy. And I went, come here, baby. And I went and sat on our little couch. She was so warm. I just held her little body. She's so cute. She's so warm. I'm like, oh, my wife is not going to be happy when she wakes up. Where am I going with this story? I completely forgot. Wait for it. So, let me see. What are we even talking about right now? See the effect that little girl has on me? But it's me trying to be like, I'm just going to try and go with it right now. I'm going to try and make up a couple things because that wasn't in my notes. But like, I'm trying to be dad. I'm trying to be the one that gives rules. No, that's not what I wanted to say. I'm trying to be the dad that shows her love. She's so, so cute. Hold on, just a minute. Let me just take a look at this. Okay, we did that one. I'm gone. That little girl, see what she's done to me? This is horrible. That we have to make sure that we take time with God, just like I was taking time with her, and I was trading the fact that really, like, she was supposed to be in bed, but I'm not going to see her until probably lunchtime, if that. And I'm like, no, I'm going to take a little bit of time. That was literally my thought, and just spend some time with her, just so that we've got a little time, because you guys are kind of what I'm focused on right now, spending time with you guys, and I needed to get up. I needed to prepare. But in our relationship with God, are we taking that time with God? That as she woke up, I'm like, no, go back to bed. I'm going to spend time with Jesus right now. And I traded Jesus for Kinley because she was so cute and so warm. That's where I was going. God should play a role in our life. And the hard part is, at times, when I talk about God, the Father, God being the creator, and even as I share these images of the power and that he's jealous and that he's mighty. That some of you have images in your head of men in your life or your dad that aren't great. I've got an amazing dad and my grandfather who was this builder, this powerful man that at times I saw him get upset and I saw his power and I saw him build stuff. He helped me build my first playhouse in our backyard and I wanted to be like him. I respected him because he was strong. And I watched him in our family lead the family. That some of you have guys in your life, men that represent God, that you go, okay, I can picture that. But some of you have nothing but hurt by the guys in your life. When whether that's your dad or your grandpa or other guys that have hurt you, I know that there's serious hurt, that you feel forsaken. You take on some of these things and think that it's your fault or whatever it is. But God is so amazing and so much more. And the power that he has to heal and care for, just as I scooped up my little daughter, Kinley, and held her, has the power, if you allow him to be the ruler of your life and follow this book, to be amazing, but you have to trust him. That is so, so difficult because he's not right there and because of the hurt that you've dealt with, because there's so many things that vie for your time, because we don't recognize that he plays a role in our life or we're not intentional. The idea of trust is something that, man, I've only felt hurt from people and guys or whatever it is, men in my life. I'm a task guy. I like to do things. But so often I have so much to do that I don't, that I just try and do it all myself. And the cool part is I get to this spot where I'm so overwhelmed that I'm like, God, I got nothing else. And he's like, Jay, consider what great things I've done. Do you really have to try and do all this stuff? I'll take care of it. I'm like, but what if I just work a little bit harder? What if I do a little bit more? Jay, only fear me and serve me with all your heart, for consider what great things I've done. That verse, praise the Lord, has been such a reminder that I just need to trust him. That as I allow him to play a role in my life and rule over it, that I fear him, that I serve him, and I consider what great things he's done. It's pushed me back when I feel like Saul, when I feel like it's me doing the things that I think I need to do. It pushes me back to God. Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he's done. Samuel tells the people of Israel that twice. In verse 14 of chapter 12 and 24. These little glimpses, these little gold nuggets. If you and your king do that, you'll be fine. But if you don't, you'll perish. We'll continue to look at the story of Saul throughout this week and see how the relationships, how the decisions that he makes turn out. But it doesn't end well. And we'll see that at the end. My question for you is, how will it end for you? When will you surrender and allow God to rule over your life? In a second, we're going to dismiss out of here and we're going to ask that you get together with your group, the church that you came with, or your leader that you came with. For some of you, that might be your counselor if you're an individual this week. And we're just going to spend some time talking about the rest of the week And then maybe some questions that you have about the text, about God's word, something I said that you think about what it means to fear. And believe you me, I've been wrestling with that for 8 months as I've really dug into that verse. It's something that I like still am wrestling with. Some of your counselors, some of your youth pastors, some of your leaders might be able to speak into that, or they might go, man, I've been wrestling with it too. But we're gonna take a little bit of time to talk about that each morning after the morning meeting. They'll give you some instructions. They might have your rec shirt. At 10:45, we'll ask that you head down to the rec field, the baseball diamond, and we'll do some rec. Have a great day. Let's pray, and then we'll dismiss. God, you are so much more than I give you credit for at times. And yet, God, the fact that you want to have a role in my life is amazing to me. God, I pray that as we look at this passage from your word, as we look at scripture, God, may you convict our hearts and our minds. As Isaiah had this image of who you are, God, may you convict us and go like, yes, I need to make some changes. God, thanks for being a God that loves us, that provides for us, that even sent his son to die for us. God, you are amazing, and I love you so, so much, God. Go with us now. Make yourself evident to us. I love you, God. I love you so much, and I pray these things in your son's name, in Jesus' name, amen.